Hi guys, why not head to my official online store now, shop.asmia1.com, to check out the official AB1 leisurewear line. You can also find some sales goalkeeper products on our website. Use code SOS for a 10% discount of all products. Also, make sure you follow our social media pages for regular offers and to keep up with the latest products. Thank you guys for your support.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Season Sports with me, Asmir Begovic, and my amazing producer, Joe Ovenall. Joe, how are you, buddy?
Very well, thanks, Asmir. How are you?
Very, very good. Happy New Year to you. We are in 2019 officially, and we're back with a special episode.
Oh, yes. And it's a great one as well.
Yeah, absolutely. From time to time, we want to do something different, and we're going to get Alan Gernon on today. He's a writer. He's a football writer. He's a stand-up comedian, someone who's written a couple of really good, interesting football books, and the latest of that is The Transfer Market, the inside story. So we're going to get into that with him and see what his inspiration was and what the ins and outs of that book are. So very interesting read, I thought, and even I'm in it, so even better, right?
There you go, a cameo role. That's excellent.
No, absolutely. So we're going to get into a chat with Alan right away. So now joining us here in The Season of Sports is author, football writer, stand-up comedian Alan Gernon, the writer of the book Retired, What Happens to Footballers When the Game's Up. And obviously his most recent book is The Transfer Market, The Inside Stories. Alan, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, Asmir.
No, really appreciate you coming on. From time to time here in The Season of Sports, we like to do something different. And, you know, we wanted to get into your books and into your story, especially the most recent one that you have released, and get into it. And I think it's an interesting story for all of our listeners, and gives a different insight to the game, because I actually talked to you in this book, and, you know, I found some of the stories very fascinating. First of all, tell me the inspiration for this book. What made you want to write this book, and where did the idea come from?
I guess I've always been, like a lot of football fans, I've always been sort of addicted almost to transfer rumors and transfer gossip and the gossip columns. Like I've read them every day for maybe 20 years, but I guess I'd never really considered the human side to transfers. So when you read about a transfer, it's just a player's name and the club they're moving from and moving to, but I'd never really considered all the stuff that I guess goes on in the background. And it's probably while writing my previous book, which looked at the problems players face when they retire from football, that sort of gave me the inspiration. There was one chapter in particular I remember on divorce, where I think it's 1 in 3 professional footballers are divorced within 12 months of hanging up their boots. And you know, it's scary statistics, but I remember particularly speaking to one former England international, and as to why his marriage broke down so quickly after he retired. And it sort of seemed to stem from the whole, I guess, instability of a footballer's life, where constant moves, and you know, whether he had to bring his family with him or whether he was living apart from his family, it added a lot of strain to the marriage. And you know, it sort of gave me a little spark as, you know, well, what else, what other problems do players go through when, you know, behind the headlines? Like, it was particularly, you know, I wanted to speak to, like I spoke to the likes of yourself, I probably spoke to 2 or 3 dozen players, and I just wanted to get an oversight into what a transfer really means for a player. I guess when a player is interviewed, when he signs for a new club, it's all about football and, you know, can't wait to get started with this new club, or can't wait to meet the guys and start playing. But you never really hear what's going on in the background, I guess, where, you know, a player may have to, you know, drag his kids out of school for the fifth time, or, you know, I spoke to one player who, you know, he was moving clubs and he hadn't even unpacked his boxes from his previous move. So it was all that sort of insight I really wanted to find out about, because it's not something that I guess fans really hear about. And, you know, when a player signs for a club, you expect them to hit the ground running, but I don't think fans or even media consider all this other stuff that's going on in the background on a personal level.
No, absolutely. I think it's a fascinating insight into that. Like, I'm sure your previous book, Retired, gave a interesting insight into the lives of these former players. And I think some interesting stats, and I know from personal experience that these moves can be difficult. You know, it's not usually, you have a bit of a settling in period, where in football you don't have time. I mean, you get sold, you do a medical and you sign, and the next day you're expected to play, or you're expected to train, and a couple of days later you're expected to play, and there is never a settling in period. Not many transfers actually happen in the summers where you can relocate your family, you have time, and you can get your kids into school and your wife settled and things like that. So a lot of transfers happen very quickly, and you don't have that transitional period. And I think, and that's always something that gets overlooked. Kind of what I chatted to you about, and from my experiences, was that from the first move, from my first move from Portsmouth to Stoke, for example, I had a newborn, just bought a house, and then a few months later, you're told you're sold. The club needs to sell you for cash reasons, and family gets uprooted, and everyone's life gets turned upside down. So that's difficult. And then the other ones, okay, you get a little bit older in life, and that becomes a little bit more steady because you have the experience, you know what to expect. And so it can be very, very interesting from that. And I mean, any interesting stats that stood out to you? I mean, you mentioned earlier from your previous book about 1/3 of players get divorced. I know that a lot of transfers aren't that glamorous. You have to do what you have to do. Anything particularly that stood out for you? Any stats, something that came back from your research?
Yeah, well, I'm a glutton for transfer gossip, but it's usually the big news that people read about or hear about, like the Pogbas or Lukakus. But there's 14 or 15,000 transfers of professional footballers every year globally, and only 14% of those involve a fee. So, most players are moving not because maybe they're wanted by a club, but maybe because they're unwanted by their current or previous club. So, the FIFPro, who are the world players union, represents 60,000 players worldwide, and they break those players down into three different tiers. So 2% of those are the elite players who we read the transfer gossip about. So that equates to 1,200 players, which is the equivalent of Morecambe FC's average attendance, whereas their bottom tier, which are guys who are struggling to earn a living or maybe on 6 to 1 6 month to 1 year contracts, that is 45,000 of the players they represent. So that's 75%, or the equivalent of the average attendance for Juventus or Chelsea. So that just gives you a contrast between where most players that we're not reading the transfer gossip headlines about, where most players are at. 45% of the players FIFPro represent are earning less than $1,000 per month. And there's some other scary stats in there where around 30% of players are transferred against their will to a club they don't want to move to worldwide. So, there's a lot of stuff out there, I guess, fans don't really hear about when it comes to the transfer market that's going on internationally. I spoke to several players who've played in maybe a dozen countries worldwide where, scary stories where problems are rife, where, going unpaid or contracts not being honoured. So there's, outside of the elite leagues in Europe, it seems to be a very precarious profession to be involved in.
No, absolutely. I think the instability of being a footballer is something that gets overlooked quite a lot. Like you said, short-term contracts. The clubs are most of the power as well. If they don't pay you, they don't pay you, and you can sue them, but they don't really have to pay you. So they sometimes tear up your contract and off you go, and managers come and go. And if a manager doesn't fancy you, then he'll tell you, you're not in my plans, and you can go. And so there's many different ways of how players get treated. And it's not all glamorous. I mean, I was lucky, for example, the first one was a bit difficult on all the loan moves when I was younger. But when I went to Chelsea, of course, that's the highest level. And you have player liaisons and people who will do absolutely anything for you to get you settled. So those are not always the stories that that help show the real picture of these transfers and these moves and everything. So, but what has been generally the feedback of your book? I mean, are players and people quite pleased that you raise some of these issues and stories and educate people on this sort of an agenda?
Yeah, I think so. Like my last book, when I spoke to players for the book on retirement, it was the first time a lot of players I spoke to had sort of spoke about these issues. And I think it was the same with this book, where some of the players were surprised. It was the first time they'd really ever been asked, what does a transfer move for you mean for you on a personal level? So I think they were happy to sort of divulge information that maybe they hadn't really spoken or maybe even thought about before. You know, the whole transfer deadline day and you know, the transfer window, it's not something you really read about a lot regarding players on a human level. Like I spoke to one Premier League player who said a lot of players switch their phones off on deadline day just so they don't have to move again. So, you know, I don't know if you've encountered that yourself, but he said it was quite common. If a player didn't want to move, he just switch his phone off so he isn't asked to, because I spoke to several players who, there was one in particular, I think he was sitting in a Sunderland home on 31st of January watching the transfer deadline day on Sky Sports, happy, and his family were settled in the area. He gets a phone call and the next day he's looking for a new home in Burnley, totally out of the blue. So there was all these sort of stories that, you know, you read about players who move from Club A to Club B, but you don't really know what's going on in the background, I guess. And, you know, I had a chapter devoted to overseas players as well. I opened the book with a story about a young African man who's terrified on a parked airplane at Birmingham Airport. He's afraid to get off the plane, and he finally emerges and meets Aston Villa's player welfare officer, who, you know, quickly realizes it's going to take quite a while for this guy to settle into England, their new signing. So again, I think a lot of overseas players there's a lot of pressure from fans and media on them to hit the ground running, but they often don't consider everything that's going on in their lives away from the football pitch, I guess, where, you know, they're just settling in a new country, adapt to a new culture, maybe learn a new language, and, you know, it can be quite difficult. And as you mentioned, that whole instability of a footballer's life, I spoke to one Italian midfielder who's been in the UK for 15 years and he still hasn't bought a house because of that instability, where every year he considers maybe settling down somewhere and putting down roots. But as you said, a new manager comes in and maybe doesn't fancy him, or his contract isn't renewed and he's on the move again. So it's that whole instability. And I think to a man, most of the players I spoke to really did not like the whole transfer window, and particularly deadline day, where it's a very anxious time, I guess, where even if you're not moving, you're looking over your shoulder to see if someone else is coming in your position. Like, there's not many professions where you can read about twice a year your employer is interested in a direct replacement for you. So that's the whole angle as well. So, you know, a lot of players said it's a very emotional time.
No, absolutely. And I think one of the changes actually that's been more positive is the fact that they've taken away the loan window in between transfer windows. Yeah. So you at least have a bit of stability. Whereas before, you know, you could go for a month here and there all the time throughout the season. And now it's become a little bit more of a steady period where you at least, you know, you're going to be somewhere for at least a few months. So I think that's been a good change. Alan Gurnan here joining me on the Season of Sports. Follow Alan on Twitter at Alan Gurnan to get more into his books and just general football updates. Alan, so you've done these two books. What's next for you? What's your next project? Anything you have in the works?
I'm not sure. I've been thinking about it quite a bit recently, because it'll probably be something on a similar level, just looking at the personal side of football. I'm not quite sure exactly what yet, but a couple of ideas maybe in the pipeline. But I'll take Christmas off and maybe get going again in the new year.
No, that sounds great. So tell everyone where we can get your book, where we can buy it, where the best place is to get your book, The Transfer Market Inside Stories.
Well, it's available on the likes of Amazon, Waterstones, WH Smith, and, you know, all good bookstores, I guess.
Perfect. Well, listen, thank you for my copy. You obviously gave me a copy. I've enjoyed the read, and thanks a lot for joining us here on the show, telling us about your book, and obviously wish you all the best going forward.
Thanks very much, Asmir.
Thank you, Alan.
That's great. Thanks, Asmir, for having me on.
No, appreciate it. Thanks a lot, man. Big help for us. So, top man.
That's really good, guys.
Great. Okay, have a great Christmas, guys.
Thank you. You too. Have a good Christmas. Happy New Year, mate. All the best.
Yeah. See you. Bye. Bye.
Bye, mate.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. That was great, mate.
Beautiful. Beautiful. No, that was nice of him. So,
yeah.
Do we do the outro?
Yep. So you can take that away when you're ready. I'll keep it as all one file, and then I'll edit it over Christmas.
Cool.
Go ahead when you're ready.
Well, really enjoyed our chat with Alan Joe. I don't know about you, but I think that was some great insight. I think it's always great to get insight for these stories of people maybe not who don't know the stories of footballers' lives and what certain things go on with the transfer. So have you read the book yet?
I've not read it yet, so I'm going to – he's sending me a copy, should be as we speak. But, yeah, no, I just found it really interesting. You don't really think about – you think of the good stuff that footballers have, but you don't think about how kind of – how it can influence their lives sort of thing. So, yeah, it's great.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I enjoyed it. Obviously, we pre-recorded this with Alan before Christmas. Wishing everyone all the best for 2019. Now that we're in the new year, keep listening to us, guys. Make sure you get us on iTunes, Audio Boom, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. Please leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you guys, whatever the case is. And we'll be back with you once again very, very soon.